And good morning. It's 6:38, and with me is Nathan Pabon. He is running for your aldermanic district number 15. You want to be alder? See, I'm never quite sure. Was it alder, alderman, alderwoman? I'm just saying alder from now on. That just cuts right to the chase. So thank you for coming in, by the way. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for the invitation.
Okay, and this is your first time running for public office?
It is.
Why do you do it? I have to ask. I ask everybody coming in, why do you run for public office? It just sounds like people are going to go nagging on you. They're going to recognize you in the supermarket, in the restaurant. You'll be having dinner with your wife, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, hey, there are noisy cars coming down my street. What are you going to do about it? And right when you're having a nice romantic dinner, why would you want to get involved with this stuff?
Well, I think I'm the seventh of seven children, so I'm used to a lot of bickering and, back and forth. Yeah, so that's part of the reason. I mean, for me, Racine just feels like home. So I've lived here now over 12 years, and I see a lot of potential in our city. I see a lot of things that we're doing well, a lot of things that could be better. And I want to make sure that my city is here. Our city is here to continue on for the next, you know, however many decades, just so everyone can experience the city on the lake.
Okay, so a little background on yourself. Where are you from originally?
I was actually born in Largo, Florida. So my parents couldn't decide whether they liked Wisconsin or Florida better. So we moved back and forth several times. In fact, my sophomore year of high school, I went to two different high schools in Florida and two different high schools here in Wisconsin. We originally moved back to Kenosha. I went to Tremper for a couple months, and then we ended up coming up into Racine, and I went to Horlick and finished high school there, thankfully. But ever since I got back and we got into Racine, I just told my wife, I said, I don't know what it is. It just feels like home to me.
So is it tough switching high school? See, I didn't switch. My high school, when I went, you know, ninth grade, I graduated the same high school. Mm-hmm. Is it tough going from high school to high school back and forth? I mean, as soon as you start getting knowing your teachers and your friends, time to move.
Absolutely. So my mother never graduated high school. She didn't even make it past the fifth grade, actually. So when you're moving high schools, but you don't have anyone to help you kind of bridge that gap, that's where it becomes really difficult. But when I got into my sophomore year and I got to Horlick is actually where I met in some incredible instructors that helped bridge that gap. So it was tough at first, but thankfully through their efforts and many hours of studying, we made it work.
Well, that's good. Okay, so originally from Largo. And by the way, one of our legendary DJs who used to work at this radio station, Frenchy Bouton, when he left here, he went to move to Largo, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard of it before, and now I heard of it twice. Okay, so you live in the 15th district. Now, where is that? So people can, because districts, I know where the 4th is because I live there. Where's the 15th, and what is it border so people know where they are?
The way that they draw the districts is interesting, but it basically goes where North Street is down Douglas heading toward 3 Mile. And then it goes down 3 Mile toward almost all the way to Johnson Bank right there by Wind Point.
Okay. Yeah.
Back up Main to about North. And then it kind of just cuts off there. So about half of 8th, 9th, and 10th Avenue are in the 15th. The other half are in the 5th District.
So if you're elected on April 1st in the 15th District, what do you want to do? What's different now? What's going on now that you're going to make different?
I think the biggest part that's missing for a lot of people because I've knocked hundreds of doors, is just the listening part, being able to bring their voice back to the Common Council. So the biggest thing that's going to be different is going out and actively seeking that input from constituents, because that's not happening now. And it doesn't just start and stop because campaign season's on. That's something that we need to be doing all the time. And then working in collaboration, again, once we get that input from the citizens, how do we do that? How do we work together to achieve the things that are facing the community?
Do you think it's going to be different if you're elected? Because I know you can promise. There was an old TV commercial, promise her anything but give her arpège. It was a perfume commercial. I mean, I know that a lot of people running for it will promise anything. And then when they get in, it kind of the same old, same old. You plan to break that mold or what?
Well, absolutely. That's the difference. And I've told people before and in any other the other interviews I've done, I'm not running to be a politician. I don't want to do that. I'm running to be a public servant. So with that comes candid responses. I've had people already reach out to me via phone calls or emails about different issues or what they're thinking about. And I always tell them, I'm going to be candid with you. If I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know, but I'm going to find it out for you. And if I do know, then yes, absolutely. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you how I see it. You may have a different point of view, but that's what this is about. It's that back and forth conversation.
Okay. Be specific now about some of the things you wanted to you change in town here. Every time we have somebody who's an alder in here, I have the same complaints. I mean, not really complaints, but if I have to dig around. I mean, I live on Main Street, and it's like the Great Lakes Dragway on Main Street. I mean, these cars are going fast, and they're noisy. They're loud. And all you need is one kid to lose a ball in the street, and you have a tragedy, because they can't. There's no way they're going to stop. Also, I always bring this up to Melissa Caprillion. The manhole covers are like 3 inches below the street. And every time I hit one, ba-boom, I think my axle is going to break.
Right.
I mean, those are my complaints. What complaints do you have? You heard anything talking to your constituents around town, people who you want you to vote for? What are their biggest complaints about the district?
The biggest complaints that we get are typically about the speeding, which is working in conjunction with the police department.
What main streets do you have in the 15th district?
We have Douglas. We have parts of Douglas. Yeah. We also have Charles Street in our area where there's probably 3/4 of a mile where there's no stop sign. So they can just zoom down that. Now, should they? No. But also we have parts of Main Street as well in the 15th. So plenty of opportunity for people.
You got a lot of speedways in your district.
Yeah, plenty of opportunity for people to go not where they should be going, at least speed-wise. I mean, people with crotch rockets, things, even on the sidewalk, we've seen those things.
People don't know a crotch rocket's a little motorcycle, but it's not like a Harley. It's a little faster. That's what those motorcycles are. Mm-hmm. So what specific things are you hearing?
Specifically,
you get a loud noise.
Right. We got loud noise, but we also got a lot of people worried about the current financial state of the city, whether they think it's going to be declaring bankruptcy in a couple years or not, or they're worried about downtown and how that is kind of the heart of our city and how people and businesses are keep on leaving. They're also worried about not having their voice heard on the Common Council, whether that be no communication with the alder, not knowing who the alder is, or how they go about contacting people to get things done.
So coming to downtown, now, I pass downtown coming and going every day.
Right.
That's where I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
What are they confused about downtown? What's their problem?
They're just concerned.
Concerned
about it. The fact that there so many businesses are leaving. So we have I don't know if you've been down, but the Hotel Verdon, very nice downtown. Mm-hmm. And they just built it not too long ago. But the issue with that is if you don't have the people to fill it, there's no one to fill the hotel, then what's going to happen to it?
Yeah.
Right?
Now, before they built that, back in the 90s, our owner and general manager he wanted to do the Imaginarium. I don't know if you remember that. It was done in different cities around the country. It was a learning for children. You go in there and they had all these great exhibits. So we all donated to get the Imaginarium going, and they knocked down part of the building because it was Zahn's department store at the time. And they knocked down the walls. They never got it finished.
Mm-hmm.
And it became vacant. Couple of decades, and then heard that Hotel Verdon opened it up. But yeah, that was supposed to be the Imaginarium at one time, right there at Monument Square.
Well, I think you bring up an important point too. A lot of people are concerned about youth engagement in the city, so that means that we need, as alders or regular citizens, though, to be going to the schools, the YMCA, you know, established youth organizations, and having that community dialogue that allows us to understand what really resonates with the younger population, utilizing social media to help build a base and create engaging content, which allows us to hold virtual town halls or Q&As so we can get better educated on what's affecting the youth from the youth. And then we can expand and add or improve youth councils, membership programs, civic programs that empower our youth with knowledge and skills to participate in our local government, but also allow them to volunteer and do internships to help make sure that they're in the best position possible to be successful adults.
Nathan Pabon is my guest. He is running for alder in the 15th Aldermanic District here in Racine. The election is April 1st. More with Nathan coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Nathan Pabon is here, and he is running for alder in the 15th Aldermanic District in Racine. The election is April 1st. At 6:50 at WRJN. I want to thank you all for joining us here this morning. I want to thank Nathan for getting up early and coming in here. Now, when you take off your Batman outfit, you're actually, where do you work normally?
I work in banking, actually. I work at First American Bank.
Okay, that's good. Where's that?
So they are the largest privately held bank in Illinois, but they have three locations basically in Kenosha County.
Oh, okay.
And then they have some in Florida, the Miami-Dade area.
Do you know the trick to finding out if a $100 bill is real?
Tell me.
You know, at my bank, she was giving me money, mm-hmm. and she had a $100 bill there. And I said, how do you know if that's real? And she said, well, you take a marker. I said, no, you don't take a marker. I'll tell you how. You have a $100 bill on you?
No.
Okay. You'd be surprised how many people do, though, if I ask that. There's a strip right down the center of a $100 bill. And it's not printed on there. It's a strip that's attached to it. Mm-hmm. And if you take a toothpick, and from the bottom up, you'll be able to slide the toothpick between the $100 bill and that strip. And if you can do that, it's real. Because counterfeiters haven't figured out how to do it. Had to make that strip on
I'm
there.
Sure they're getting right on that, though.
Well, now that I'm talking about it, they will.
Now they see you talk about it.
They haven't figured out how. So, and the lady at the teller window said she didn't realize. So I went back the next month, and she said, I tried it. It works. Of course it works. And also, if you look at a bill, beside the serial number, there's a letter and a number. Mm-hmm. That letter and the number correspond to each other in the alphabet. So if there's an E on there, the number's got to be 5. If there's F, you got to have the number 6. Counterfeiters don't do that. It's a lot of work to do that, to make those numbers like that. If you take a $100 bill, you can slide that toothpick between the strip, that little stripe, and the $100 bill, and then you know it's real. See?
The more you know.
I just saved you a ton of problems today.
Right,
you came in here, you never knew you'd leave a little smarter than when you came in.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Racine Neighborhood Watch. It's a fundraiser coming up.
Yes, the annual Take a Taste Out of Crime. That's going to be this Friday, March 28th. Starts at 5 p.m. at Roma Lodge. It's just a really great after work social that you can go to that supports a noble cause. Racine Neighborhood Watch has been involved in the community for over 40 years. I'm a board member of the Racine Neighborhood Watch. So we're really just trying to get the word out there. That's the Roma Lodge again at 7130 Spring Street. Tickets are $40 in advance, so they go up if you get them at the door. But it's just a spectacular way to socialize and taste some good wines and beers and cheeses and bid on some auction items that all benefit a great cause.
It is a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do they still hang those little things in the window, the eyeball, the neighborhood watch things?
I don't.
Years and years ago, they used to hang that in the window.
No, I mean, and I've seen some places that, some houses that have like part of the Racine Neighborhood Watch program, but no eyeballs.
That's
no,
good.
No eyeballs that I see, at least.
So what do you want people to know about you? Because you're new.
Right.
Let's be honest. You're brand new. You're running for your first office, Nathan mm-hmm. Pabon. And what do you want people in the 15th District to know about you?
Well, I'm new to running for office, but I'm not new to the Racine community. So I would really want people to understand that the difference is again, I'm not running to be a politician. I'm running to be a public servant. And I want to do the best I can, obviously, to help our community go forward. But when I tell you, I want to hear your response, I want to work in collaboration, I actually mean it. My wife and I were fostering two of my nieces right now. We have a good boy at home. His name is Tyrus. Speaking of which, the girls should be up right about now getting ready for school. So hopefully that's going according to plan. So I want them to understand that what I say, I mean. Again, I'm not running, where I promise you the ocean and give you a glass of water. Very realistic.
Well, I like that. I'm going to write that down.
Write that down. I'll trademark it. No. So I'm not running to do anything like that. I'm second homeowner in my family. My parents on disability. I went to Gateway Technical College, got my degree in business management from there. I'm rooted in Racine. So when I tell you these things, I'm not blowing hot air. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm being very candid, very honest that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of great things to offer, and we can only get it done if we work together.
I would say as candidates running for office to say something nice about their opponent. In your case, it's Corey Sebastian. Mm-hmm. Say something nice about her and then maybe a criticism of her. Let's start off. Say something nice about her.
I think that Corey is a very hard worker. She has a great restaurant, Sebastian's in Caledonia. I've never actually been there myself, but I know a lot of people know her just from that and say great food, great service. So I know she provides that to the community for sure.
And a criticism. Something you'll do better than she's doing.
Listen to the constituents. Actually be out there knocking on doors, talking to people, and getting their input.
I got to ask you then. When you knock on doors, and this last 2 weeks, I got to tell you. I go home from here, and I'll take a little nap, and it's real tough with the door knockers coming
right up.
And they're very pleasant. They're there for a reason. I always open the door. I take whatever they're doing, and I talk with them for a second. I never slam the door in their face or ignore them because they're doing something they really believe in. They're running the streets, and it's a tough thing to do. And I wouldn't want to do it in the rain and so forth. So, you know, I try to be pleasant to them. You know, a lot of people not answering their doors when you knock on doors or just saying, get off my porch.
No, you know, for the most part, and this is a reality kind of wherever you go, you may knock on 50 doors. Maybe you get 10, on a good day, you get 10 people to answer the door. But when you do.
Really? That's it, huh?
But it's not a lot. But the point is that you were there and you were trying. And a lot of the times, you know, I leave messages with a Ring doorbell camera as we're just having a conversation myself. But I don't really have anybody that's been too unpleasant. I've been very reactive and very saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, and we have a great conversation. I know that it's difficult for some people, especially right now with the spring election, everything on the ballot, that we've just been hit with all this, you know, every YouTube ad, they want to see David Gruber back on their televisions because that's their sense of normalcy. So I always appreciate when they do actually come to the door and are willing to have an engaging conversation with me, which a lot of them are.
And I do that.
Yeah.
You know, I do. There's certain candidates in national politics I don't want to deal with. And if I find that they're supporting, I just get off my porch. Call security, please.
Yeah. Sick the dog.
Get that pit bull out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have a couple of minutes here left, and I just want you to give a campaign speech to the people who are listening. Who are listening in the 15th Aldermanic District who haven't made up their mind between Corey Sebastian and Nathan Babon. So why don't you give a pitch now why they should elect you?
Well, I think that right now we are in a position in our city where we can't afford to keep accepting people that are rubber stamping spending or just being yes people. And we also can't afford people that are being obstructionists. So that's what I'm looking to do when I go there is not be a yes person, not be an obstructionist, but work together in collaboration, not just with the other alders, but with the mayor where possible, whoever the mayor may be. You know, we have another election coming up here in a couple of years to get things done. That's what people want in local government. They want the dysfunction. I don't think they want the dysfunction, but they kind of leave that over to Washington. And right now we are in a hyper politicized atmosphere that should not be affecting us locally, because this is stuff we're getting done. You know, those potholes filled, the buildings repaired, our youth engaged, our schools funded, our first responders funded, those kind of things. That's what people want to see. And that's what we need to be doing, is working in conjunction with each other to help promote and revitalize our city that we love. And we can only do that if we work together and listen to each other.
Now, how do you stand on the two referendi? Getting more money for the fire department. They need, it's for like six, or I forget how many firefighters.
Nine
firefighters. Mm-hmm. And also for the funding of the, what was it, the school?
The RUSD referendum. Yeah, I can tell you that what a lot of my constituents say. Me personally, my nieces will be going to Juristead next year, and I've toured there. They've done a lot of improvements. I think you have a deep sense of distrust in the community. A lot of my constituents feel that way. Personally, I support it because I would love to support extra funding in education and our youth. But it's all boils down to the individual choice at the ballot box on what they've seen, the information they have available, and how they're going to want to vote. As far as the firefighters go, again, that's something I support. You're talking about nine positions, $1.7 or $1.5 million. So potentially $62 more dollars in your tax bill beginning December of 2025 in order to keep those positions funded and keep our response times to around 4.5-ish minutes. I mean, if you're thinking about it, you're watching your house burn an extra 2 minutes.
I was about to say, it doesn't mean anything to anybody until your house is on fire neighbor's house.
So,
yeah.
And I think that allows them to still be active in the community and work on that fire prevention and safety and do the things that they're doing, get the latest training, the latest equipment to make sure they're safe and they're keeping us safe. So,
well, good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nathan Babon, he is running for the alder job in the 15th Aldermanic District. The election is April Fool's Day.
April 1st.
No, tough day to have an election. April 1st. And good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you in here this morning.